Hello everyone, Pastor Phil Bates in beautiful Hartford, Connecticut. This Sunday, due to weather, we had to cancel our service, so I'm going to be giving you the message in the podcast style over the next several days. So we are continuing a series in the book of Luke. We actually took a look at Luke right before the new year in his stories of Jesus' birth and the genealogy of Jesus. And now we're going to pick up Luke again and spend several weeks together. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 4. Verses 1 through 13, which tells us the narrative of the testing of Jesus in the wilderness by the devil. So today we're going to take a look at the characters in the story, and we're also going to take a look together at the first temptation by the devil to Jesus. So obviously we have two main characters in this story, Jesus and the devil, and we're going to begin there. But before we begin, I'd like you to join me in a word of prayer. Lord God, we just pray that today we would hear your word with open hearts and open minds, that your word would transform us and change us so that we might become more of who you want us to be. For your sake and your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, friends, let's begin with the characters. We have, first of all, Jesus. Just prior to Luke chapter 4, our story, the genealogy of Jesus is given by Luke to show, you know, who he was descended from and his family tree. And it begins that he is the son of, so it was thought, of Joseph, the son of Heli, and then, as I mentioned in our sermon on that, that actually many scholars believe this genealogy traces his lineage through Mary, his mother, showing that he is truly, a descendant of David through both Joseph and Mary. But anyhow, at the very end of the genealogy, the very last part of Luke chapter 3, it says that Jesus was the son of Adam, the son of God. And so we see that Jesus is very unique. He is the son of Adam, which means he is fully man, and he is the son of God, which means he is fully God. God became a man in Jesus Christ so that he could go through everything we experience as humans. And if he did that without sinning, then he could be the perfect sacrifice to die in our place, which means that he alone can forgive us of our sins. And then, of course, being God, he is able to raise again to life, which allows us to have eternal life. So again, Jesus is fully man, meaning that he is going to live as us, although he is will be perfect, and then he can die for our sins. And he is fully God, meaning he will rise again from the dead so that we might have eternal life. So Luke, after telling us about the birth of Jesus and giving us his lineage, he begins the narrative of Jesus' mission and ministry, with Jesus being tested by the devil in preparation for God's purposes and plans. Now it says that Jesus is fasting in this story. Well, why is Jesus fasting? Well, fasting is a sign of seeking God and preparation. It's also an emptying of oneself to be more open to God and his work in our lives. Jesus is getting ready for his assignment. Listen to Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. This narrative also reveals to us that not only is God at work in his creation, but there is an adversary, one called the devil or Satan. The word Satan literally means the accuser, and he is very active in this world today. The devil has a plan, a purpose, and an agenda that is in direct rebellion and opposition to God. Here are some things we know about the devil from the scripture. First of all, the devil's objectives are to steal, to kill, and to destroy all people. Second, we know that the devil is a liar and the father of lies. He is full of deception. Third, we know that the devil wants worship and authority that is due to God. In fact, the Bible indicates that the devil, or the Satan, was once an angel named Lucifer, created by God to be a very beautiful, very powerful angel, but he became prideful and wanted worship and authority for himself and didn't want to submit to God anymore, and so he was cast out of heaven, taking a third of the angels with him, which become what we think of as demons. So one of the ways that the enemy tries to get us is he appears in disguise to deceive us, to entrap us. He often appears as something beautiful or reasonable or appealing or promising. And I remember a line from The Lord of the Rings, which you all know I love. And the hobbits in that story meet Aragorn, the ranger, the human, and they're wondering if they should trust him or not. And Frodo says, "I think the enemy would look fairer and feel fouler." And that describes the enemy of Satan as well. He often appears to be fair, but he ends up being something much fouler and much more evil. We know that it is only through our connection to God that we can see the devil for who he really is. So the devil comes in this narrative to Jesus in a very vulnerable moment to tempt him away from his divine purpose and mission. Jesus is hungry. He hasn't eaten for 40 days, so he is physically weak and emotionally vulnerable. But Jesus is not alone either. We know that he is full of the Holy Spirit. In fact, God has led him into this place, and God's Spirit is with him. So the devil comes to test him and to challenge him. Let's take a look at how Jesus responds and resists. So let's begin with the plot of this story and the first temptation. Luke chapter 4, verse 3. The devil said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, a person does not live on bread alone." So in the first temptation, the devil challenges Jesus that if he is the Son of God, to turn some stones into bread. The devil wants Jesus to question his identity and take care of himself. Remember, Jesus was hungry, and this was something he could do. And I think about how often in our own lives, our identity is defined by how well we can take care of ourselves or how much we produce. I know for myself, as a father and husband, I feel more like I'm doing my job when I'm able to provide for my family. My identity is stronger when I can be successful in what I do. If I have the ability to make bread, I want to make bread. And I believe everyone feels this way to some extent. Both men and women, married and single people, often find our significance measured by how hard we work or how much we produce. And the devil says to Jesus, "Prove yourself by doing something. Produce some bread from these stones. I know you're hungry. Take care of yourself." You see, but trusting in our own ability is not trusting in God. And this is the first temptation of the devil. Jesus resists this temptation by relying on the Father's provision and not his own abilities. Very important to note that Jesus refutes the devil by quoting Scripture. He's going to do that in all three of these temptations. Jesus quotes the Scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, which says that a person does not live on bread alone. Now, he quotes the first part, but the verse goes on to say, "but rather on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So again, the Scripture is, a person does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Remember, at this moment, Jesus is fasting. He's sacrificing to prepare for the great task ahead of him, the cross. In giving up the things of this world, he's declaring his reliance on the provision and the care of God. The devil is tempting him to take a shortcut to be completely independent instead of connected to and reliant on God. All provision comes from God. That is the truth. And as hard as we work, as talented as we are, we need to know that God is really the one who provides for all of our needs. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 6. He says very strongly, "Do not worry about what you're going to eat or drink or wear, because your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be taken care of as well." In this resistance to the devil, Jesus displays that he knows who he is, and he trusts his relationship with God to provide all of his needs, both physical and spiritual. He points out that we do have physical needs, but we also have spiritual needs. And there is physical food, and there is also spiritual food. Likewise, as we spend time in prayer and fasting and in God's Word, we can know our true identity, that we are children of God. 1 John says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God." And that is who we are, if we have received Jesus Christ into our lives. And I'll speak more about that in a minute. So we can also resist the devil by staying connected to God's word, and we can be confident that God will provide for us. As an illustration, you know, as a pastor of this new church, Hartford City Church, I know that I have to rely on God's power and his provision. I wasn't sure when I first started thinking about planting a church that I would be able to do it. And there are days when I'm still uncertain if I can actually plant a church that will thrive and grow. But God has assured me over and over again through prayer and through meditation on his word, that he will sustain me, and he will give me, and really give to all of us at Hartford City Church, everything that we need. And my confidence in that is directly related to how connected I am to God. So the application for today is to stay connected to God. And we see that Jesus was connected to God through the word of God, through the scripture. So what I want to challenge you to do today is to really know the word of God, to spend more time in it. You know, when I was a child, we used to memorize a lot of scripture, and that was a way of soaking in the scripture and having it with us all the time. I encourage you to memorize scripture or write scripture down or put it on your phone or make it your screensaver so that you can soak in the word of God. I also remember from being a child what the word meditate means. The image stuck with me. The pastor when I was young said meditate is the same word that means when a cow chews its cud. We know that a cow will swallow her food into the stomach, but then bring it back up again and chew on it some more. And that's what the word meditate means. So with God's word, we chew on it, and then we bring it up, and we chew on it again and again and again. Sometimes when we read the Bible, we try to read through a program or read through a passage, and then the next day a passage. I want to give you something new to try. Take a week at least and read the same passage over and over every day. So pick one passage, read it every day for a week. In fact, read it two or three times a day, and then write down what it's saying to you, soak in the words, stay connected to God. If you want a suggestion for a passage, you could use Psalm 96, which is our theme psalm for the year, sing a new song to the Lord. Or another great passage is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, another text that we preached on a couple weeks ago. So again, I challenge you this week, find a passage of Scripture, meditate on the same passage every day for a week, write down what it's saying to you, stay connected to God, and watch your confidence in God grow. I hope you'll join me tomorrow as we explore the second temptation from the devil, and we again see how Jesus resisted and responded to that temptation. May God bless you today and be close to you in everything that you say and do. And we'll see you tomorrow. God bless. Amen.